everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Health and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today on Sedona Talk Radio Live, Blog Talk Radio, and also we are archived on iTunes. It is such a great day here in the South. It is the end of October, and, you know, I'm just really hoping on having a little bit cooler weather. I don't know about you, but it's time for a new breeze. It's time for a change. You know, time to, like, maybe say, oh, it's time to let this year go. It's time to be able to start on anew. Today, we're going to have a great show. We have with us Bob Sima, who is a musician, and his songs and his albums and are absolutely fabulous. And they talk about change. When can the wind blow? What things you've done before? What's important? What isn't? What can we let go? You know, so many times you carry around that baggage, as we've always said on this show, and I'm sure the listeners can almost repeat it with me. God does not accept UPS, so you can't take your baggage with you. So it's so important to remember it's just time to be able to enjoy the life you've got, and you don't need to be able to hold on to all that stuff. You know, things just get really heavy. Time to let go and just enjoy each and every day that you're alive. So it's such a pleasure to welcome Bob with us today. We're going to be having one, two, three, four of his songs are going to be featuring today. They are I Am Here, Periphery, Shine, and Breathe is the other song. And these are all from the CDs, Put a Little More Love in the World, Bob Sima, Periphery, and the other is Thin Little Veil. So, Bob, thank you so much for joining. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Oh, pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
It's a great day, isn't it? It's just, you know, you think about it's the end of the year and time for some more changes. And I think a lot of people have heard that, you know, life has been changing and we really want to change and all about the world is a different place and everything. But they kind of don't really have things to put it into practice. In other words, we're still listening to the music about all these sad, sappy stories about people and how much they hurt each other, you know?
Or else
we're looking at the other ones that have got all these funky words that you can't even understand anyway, and I think your music fills that gap, and it's just wonderful.
That's funny. That's a great way to put it. You just encapsulated, like, everything that I do with my music right there, because I listened to music growing up, and it was all... Oh, you know, it would drive you to the emotions that you maybe wanted to feel, you know, the angst and all
right.
The crazy feelings. But, you know, I never found music that really was, I don't know, kind of like a self-help book in a 3-minute song. They were, and I think that's what I do. I mean, I just create these, I read books and I study spirituality and I do the practices and I just turn these lessons into songs. And I think you just encapsulated it pretty well right there.
You know, I think it's so important, too. You know, we listen to all of these songs, and they have all of those stories. And like you said, you know, that it'll drill up this emotion in you. But really, people listen to it over and over again, and they think that that's their mantra because they want to feel like there's someone, they have some camaraderie ship with that person. They want to feel like they're attached to it, that someone else can feel just as deep and dark and sallow as they feel, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think, you know, it's sort of that woe is me, but misery loves company kind of thing. And you know, I mean, you know, I still listen to, you know, sadder kind of music sometimes just to sort of stir me up. I mean, I don't know if you study the Enneagram at all, but I'm a 4 on the Enneagram. So I do actually I love the darkness. It's really, I just love to sink into it. But,
don't worry.
But it's like,
we're all friends of the darkness here. All of our listeners can totally understand that, you know. And I always say to them, you know, if you don't have an emotion, what is there, you know? So many people are saying they get out there, these experts and gurus, you know, tell your story, get over it. And then you look at them and they'll ask you a question and you'll start to tell your story and you'll still have emotion. They'll go, oh, you mustn't be over it. You still have emotion with it. And I'm going, no.
Mm.
I just need to know that I'm still in touch with my emotions. And isn't that grand?
Well, if you can't, what do they say? If you can't feel it, you can't heal it. So, I mean, you know, and the definition of, I've heard this once, the definition of darkness is not looking. That's all it is. It's not looking.
Yeah.
It's there. It's always going to be there. So, I mean, I write songs for people that have already looked at that. And they've looked at it and they've examined it and they're like, okay, I'm done. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to move on. I've done the work and I need a soundtrack. Like to carry me through, like let's, you know, give me some positive, good positive music that's not syrupy, sugary, sweet, that's real and has a good rhythm and beat and good voice. And, you know, I mean, I think that's what the world needed when I was growing up, and it just wasn't there. I mean, I did not get inspired by music. I got sort of, I got fueled in a different way, but it wasn't, you know, like what I'm doing.
Now, Bob, you're telling your age, because you know what? I'm almost 60, and I can remember the songs. They were like, what was the, oh, my gosh, I can't even remember them now. They would repeat these phrases, you know, and they'd be going over and over again, and you wouldn't even know what they were talking about half the time. You know that 60s and,
well,
you know, the 70s
well, the
music, 60s, and you're going, okay.
Well, I'm a little bit younger, but, I mean, I always thought the 60s and like was the good music, the sort of like the I don't know, the hippie music or whatever they call
the
it.
Hippie music.
I grew up more in the 70s, and I was listening to, like, you know, Led Zeppelin and, you know, and I really grew up, sadly, listening to a lot of 80s music.
Yes.
I say sadly because it could have just skipped right over all that, but, I mean, we needed it for some reason. It had to be there. But I don't know, like, so some of the 60s music was a little bit, you know, there is a season for everything, turn, you know, some of that music was good, but I'm going to bring it back. Like, I heard somebody say, they were interviewing Timothy Leary, you know, the icon of the 60s with the LSD and all that, and it was like in the 90s before he passed away, and he said, so Mr. Peace and Love, he's like, you know, where are the flower children now? Because it was like the early 90s when we were in a really rough place and all that. And he said, where have all the flower children gone? He said, they've gone to seed.
Yeah.
Gone to seed.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was so beautiful. And, you know, so many songs, and we picked four, but I wrote a song called Peace Signs and Laugh Lines. And it was sort of my homage to sort of that Imagine, sort of the John Lennon song Imagine. It's like my 2013 version of that, but I'm trying to bring a feeling into this consciousness of the world right now, that that it's okay to examine life, and life is meaningful, and life has a lot more than just, you know, love songs and, you know, your car got stolen and your dog died. You know, there's a lot more there's a lot more substance going on. So,
you know, I can remember the days that they had Woodstock, because my father was a truck driver, and he usually had that run, you know, up there in New York on those back roads. And in the 70s, you know, there weren't much big highways. It was just everybody coming in. And one day he came home, it was on a Friday afternoon, and we couldn't figure out why he was so late. He says, all those darn hippies up there. He said, I don't know where they're going, but all those darn hippies around the road. He said, I had to give them a bunch of them a ride in my truck.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll never forget
it.
I mean, it was so funny. Those darn hippies, you know, because my father's not like that at all, you know, but those darn hippies were up there. And, you know, it's interesting you said that they've gone to seed. You know, you think about those older people, you know, and all of those ideas. I think now is the time that they're starting to flower more. I always talk on the show. The children that are born now have just come, and they're almost like, I almost think them as delicately as violets. You know, a violet, even if a drop of water gets on it, it leaves a mark, you know? So they're just like these little violets. They're just so precious. And then we think of the older people, you know, in the generations of like the late 80s and the 90s, and they've kind of, you know, they're just, I think of them, okay, now this is crazy. I think of them more as like a dandelion, because it's pretty sturdy. It'll stay there, and when its time comes, you know, they're ready to go.
Just
now, wait a minute. But we're the ones in the
middle.
We're the ones in the middle who can't figure out if up is down or down is up or which way to go, or we hit the walls and we implode. We all end up with cancer or something bad, you know. And all of this mush is in the middle, you know, and their houses get foreclosed and there are 10 cars and it's downsized to 2. So it's really this mishmash in the middle where we're having such a crisis of life, I find.
Wow. So we're just following the violet. Just look for the violet.
Talk to the violet.
I mean, you know, we're like these little wildflowers that are just sort of like, I don't know, should I be purple? I don't know. Green. Let's do green. Green is the new purple. Well, no, purple is the new brown. Wait a second. Wait. Give me 10 brown and I'll have 4. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's a little frantic.
But I think
that's
we
why
all
we
got
need to breathe.
But we all got, yes, because we all got stuck into that mantra of believing that, hey, well, their way didn't work and we're going to be bigger, better, and best. And we're the ones that decided, you know, bigger, better, and best wasn't always the way it should be. So, you know, we got knocked down on our tower the past several years. This is where we are all the ones now who are, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s who are really saying, okay, what is the more important thing? And I think that's, you know, a really good audience for your music because they're saying, you know, I have a touch of that, you know, that hippie era, but I also know that there's what I've been doing just isn't working. So that's really a good idea to...
Yeah, well, it's my audience because it's me. I mean,
right.
I grew up with a father and mother who went through the, you know, it's probably the later part of the Depression. They were really young, but they kind of grew up with that, you know, 50s mentality where the woman stays home
right.
and the father works, and you know, he would never work, and you know, we had enough money, but we didn't have a lot of things, but.
Right.
We, you know, so we grew up, but he grew up with a scarcity mentality. And so I grew up with a scarcity mentality, even though I was fully abundant. So I grew up and I went and there was this thing called the American Dream, I think they call it.
Right.
You know, which was created by the 1920s administration to stimulate the economy so that each person was supposed to have a car, each person was supposed to have a house, blah, blah, blah. And that dream was set into place, and so I got there, and I loved it. I had the house and the Mercedes and all that stuff, and I sat up there on the top of that hill in that house, and I was so empty inside. So I started reading books, Wayne Dyer, you know, Eckhart Tolle, all these books, and I was like, I had a massive awakening, and here I am a couple of years later traveling around singing about it. So, I mean, like, everyone's ready to wake up, and it's happening everywhere. There's a complete sweep. I mean, the divine feminine is coming back to the world because we've been run for millennia through the masculine energy, and so the music to me just felt like the perfect door opener because it gets every. I can sneak in anywhere with it. It's a sneaky little, you know, little tool. To, you know, I can go into boardrooms with it, and I actually do corporate work and go in and, you know, sing songs and business conferences and stuff. And next thing you know, people start, wow, what is that about? That's an interesting song. And so it's a sneaky way to get into people's hearts and to crack it open a little bit. So,
Well, let's play one of your songs. And your first song we're going to play today is called Breeze. Is there anything you'd like to share about that song before we play it?
Well, I would just invite everyone to take a nice deep breath right now, just right here in this moment, because breath is the key. Your breath is your key to your presence, and you know, breath work has been a big part of my awakening. It's been a big part of my learning, and now part of my teaching is carrying along the traditions and breath work techniques that I've learned. So I started writing it in song. And the song Breathe is just simply an invitation to breathe, to stop doing, and start being. Because we're human beings, not human doings. And Breathe is just an homage to that idea, to just breathe.
Great. And this song is called Breathe. And for the listeners, the CD is Put a Little More Love in the World by Bob Seema. And here we go.
Just one breathe when you need. vinegar runs, rise to the top. It's been 1,000 miles since your last rest stop. It's been a lot of putting off, figure it out somehow. A lot of maybe when's, but never right now. When I just wanna breathe. And I just wanna breathe.
You know, Bob, I think that's a fabulous song. And you, if you listen to the words, you know, it's a type song where you can just listen and find yourself in almost every sentence. You know, when you say about the rise to the top, how many people are just running and running and running and they don't even notice things? You know, so many people, I would say to them, I took a drive the other day, and I said this on an earlier show, is that we were going somewhere, and within like 2 minutes of being in the car, I saw the ducks washing themselves in the canal, and I saw the fog coming up off of the golf course. And then when we pulled in to get gas, there was a woman right next to us, and she was sitting there crying. But then I figured, okay, what is this? You know, I get this all the time. You know, I don't know why I notice these things or they show up in my vision. But then, so I turned to my husband, and I said, what did you notice in the last 5 minutes? He says, what do you mean? Just that guy that was cutting me off the light up there? He's a you-know-what. And I'm going, wow, look at the difference, you know, of what we notice in life and what we don't notice in life, you know? And was that important or not? Probably. But I didn't emphasize on the other. It was just those things just showed up, and it was like it showed nature, it showed lightness, and it just showed emotion and how people miss that, don't you think?
Yeah, well, you're touching on Periphery with the other song, one of the other songs I sent to you. There was a time in my life, which is really over the apex when I was making a big shift, and I always noticed things. Like I was an observer, you know. I would be, you know, in someone's house and I would notice a picture up in the very corner of their, you know, bookshelf.
Right.
And I'd look and I'd see a sadness and I'd just look and I'd say, so who's that little girl up there in that picture? Oh, that's your sister. Oh, she passed away. You know, I always picked up on that stuff. But at the same time, the Periphery, which is the song, It's also sort of a catch-22 because we can get so caught up in something that we are so fixated on it and our eyes are on the prize. I mean, we are so fixated on you know, like getting somewhere, for example. Like we want to – there's a friend of ours who's become a friend of mine. I mean, he was a fan of the music and he's brought me down to do some retreats and so forth down in Atlanta. And he's actually named his – he bought a lake house and he named it Periphery. And he's got a picture of the album cover on it, you know, on the front door area. And anyway, the story goes is that we went to his house for the second time ever to finally enjoy. And we drove up there from Atlanta. It was a 2-hour drive. We bought bathing suits because we wanted to swim in the lake. And we get there and we sat there and we talked for 5 hours about nothing. And we just were in the moment. And I looked at him and I said, well, I guess I'm going to go swimming sometime tonight, jokingly, because we just enjoyed what was at hand, what was right in front of our face. And so that's the thing is, like, people get so caught up in, you were just describing a perfect example of Periphery because you were noticing these tiny little insignificant, seemingly difficult, but you were experiencing this beautiful day. And your partner there was like, the guy that cut me off in traffic. And you were like, man, the ducks on the pond and the fog. I mean, come on, look at this beautiful place. So it's a different experience, you know, altogether.
And I think so sometimes too, we always like try to get on this run, you know, where you have to get the degree, you have to have kids, you have to get married, you have to this, you have to that, and make sure you do this by this age and this age and this age. And people get on that treadmill, and it depends on who you surround yourself with, whether you're mm-hmm. able to enjoy that periphery or not, because sometimes you're just on that treadmill and all the people are around you too, and it sort of seems like you're, you know, one of those Est rallies, you know. I mean, I'm not making fun of Est, because I went to Est in the 80s. In fact, I did it twice. You know, sit there for those 2 weekends, you know, and just sit in your chair, and we want to see how uncomfortable you can get. Well, anyway.
Well, but, you have to get the lobsters crawling over your skin. I mean, well, I was sitting this morning in the perfect place for all this whole discussion is so serendipitous, because I was sitting out in my little hot tub out in the backyard overlooking the trees, and I said to my partner, Shannon, I looked at her, I said, because, you know, the leaves were not falling, because even though it's fall here in Maryland and it's crisp, it was 40 degrees this morning, it was very still. And once in a while, a little leaf would just fall. And I said, you know, if life is just, and they say about quantum physics that the world is really, you know, it's moving so fast, like a fan blade. Like a fan blade is moving so fast that you can't, but if it slows down enough, you can actually stick your finger through it and not have your finger get chopped off.
Yeah.
And you can also do that with a rock, you know, because it's the same thing. It's just moving too fast. So if we sit and we just sit, what if we sat there for a month? I said to her, what if I just sat in this hot tub for a month? And I did not move, and I just watched the change of the scene. How profoundly awesome would that be? And, you know, like, can you imagine how that would feel and look? I mean, sooner or later, the snowflakes would start coming down. It would be November and December. So, but we don't even get close. I mean, we move from one thing to the next, one thought to the next, one activity to the next. And when you take even if you just take 10 seconds and take three conscious breaths, just, you know, even if, you know, you just three, 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out, 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out, that's 30 seconds of, technically, do it to the math. If you took 30 seconds out of your day, you know, 20 or 30 times a day, your life would change. I mean, you would start acting you would be in a different place. You would come from a different place. So that's why I wrote that song. And then the next one, I Am Here, which is all about breath. It's all about breath work. And it's, you know, there's a magic that happens when you breathe and consciously. And if you get into a rhythmic pattern, if you get your breath down to, say, 8 to 10 seconds on the in-breath and 8 to 10 seconds on the out-breath, it actually takes work to do this. You have to build up your lung capacity. But you get yourself down to 2 breaths per minute, I mean, you can get into a complete state of pure bliss and pure consciousness. And I Am Here, which is one of the other songs I sent you, is just all about that. I mean, it's where they say the mind, to the mind that is still, the whole universe surrenders. And, you know, the less you do, the more capacity you have for yourself. And I don't think people really get that. You know, they think they need to do more.
A lot of times, you know, when we have a lot of very sick clients that come to me, we always do that. We have a sort of system that we use to be able to do that exactly with that breath work. And that's so vitally important, because without oxygen in your body, you know, you're going nowhere. So really by doing that, you're forcing your body to be able to start working more than it has been in the past. A lot of times, you know, people with chronic illnesses and these crashing diseases, I always say to them, you've hit the wall. Are you ready to implode yet? And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm saying you're going to implode. And what that means is that everything that you thought was real or everything you thought that you were about is now going to challenge you. It's going to raise its ugly head. It's going to be vicious. It's going to have all kinds of dirty names with it. And it's going to smell like nobody's business. But that's exactly what you do, is you challenge all of that. And then you're able to say, okay, what comes out of it? It's just like alcoholics, you know, when they hit bottom. You know, you will hit that bottom. And then you just sit in yourself, you know. Don't take a shower for a week, you know. Don't go do anything else. Just plain sit your derriere on the ground and see what comes out of that, you know. Because eventually you'll be able to come out of it and you'll realize all of that other stuff was just something in your mind. It was just something in your thoughts. And it was just something that you were programming yourself or someone programmed you to believe. And now it's just up to you to be able to change those. And I think that's so vitally important where we are now.
Absolutely. Wow. I'm just taking all that in. I mean, you know, think about it. If the average person, you know, inquiry, I mean, you have a witness. If you can engage your witness, you know, that's what you're saying, sit your derriere down to the dirt for a week or a couple of days. What happens is that little witness starts to come up. It's the person, it's the man behind the mirror, the man behind the mask. It's the you behind the you, the I behind the I. And you start to look down at yourself and look, not look down at yourself, but you used to look at your body and you just think, all this is going away someday, man. I gotta get in touch with the other part of myself, the eternal part. Because clearly this part's not going to last that much longer. There's an eternal part that is timeless and ageless and will go on forever. And it always has been there and it will always be there. And when you get in touch with that, man, you just start firing on. Then the body wakes up. I mean, it wakes up and catches up to that eternal nature. So, you know.
And that's a tough place to get to for a lot of people because they have so much baggage. It seems to be you got to keep unpacking, you know, until you get to the bottom. Well, let's play I Am Here. That would be a great follow-up.
Sure. Great.
Find me in the silence I'll be breathing. If the true is true in everything I believe in. Light dances before your eyes, a precious gift to be realized. It leaves you with an indescribable feeling that I'm awake, I'm alive, I am here. As the air moves in and out of me, I can feel it. It's the Buddha, the Mother Mary, and Holy Spirit. It's every book I read, the single thread that gets me clearing out of my head. Ties my body to my soul, and I'm always near it. And I'm awake, I'm alive, I am here. Drive, stressed and tempted to dole the ride. Hints of joy that they were often feeling. I'm awake, I'm alive, I am here. I'm awake, I'm alive, I am here. I'm awake, I'm alive, I am here. Every book I read, the single thread that gets me clearing out of my head, ties my body to my soul, and I'm always near it. And I'm awake, I'm alive, I am here.
You know, Bob, that's an absolutely fabulous song. Do you know how many people that I work with that are at end of life, and they're still at that point, and they're still saying, I'm still running my game. you know, and I'll ask them, what does that mean? And they'll still say, you know, I'll say, what is it? You know, what is it? And they understand, but they're not quite sure. And they always say, I'm afraid. You know, I lived my life in fear, and now I'm going on, and I'm still afraid. And that fear, it can absolutely cripple you. And you know, it's incredible I even said that just now, because I can remember, I haven't seen one of my relatives for like 30 years. And I sat down next to her at a restaurant, and within 2 minutes of me sitting down, she doesn't know what I do, you know. She lives pretty far away from me. And I sat down, and first words out of her mouth was, Ginny, what happens when you die? Do you know? And I went, whoa. Okay, where is this coming from, you know? And it was just like, wow. And, I mean, I started sweating and everything, and I said, well, I said, you'll still be just as you are. You just change clothes. Just think of it that way. She says, oh, I get it. She said, because you know what? She used to work with children that were handicapped for 40 years, and she always had the night shift for 40 years. And she had said to me, she says, I see the angel of death all the time. Do you want to know what he looks like? And it was just incredible. You think when people go through life, and so many people haven't even touched on those exquisite things that we could experience in life, you know, and they just run in this fear all the time. But you'll have some people who will say, oh, I'm just tired of work. Oh, I'm just tired of my husband. I'm just tired of my wife. I'm sick of my kids. I didn't make enough money, blah, 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 you know, and you think, wow, you know. Here's this other side of life, and here's this side of life, and which one do you want to really be on?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I heard somebody once say, fear doesn't prevent death, it just prevents life.
Yes, absolutely.
You know? I mean, you can't, fear is the only thing that prevents you from really fully living. And, wow.
And, you know, we think so many times, you know, what's going to the end. You know, I've had end-of-life clients before, and I said, well, what really is it to this one woman? And she says, I want a new heart. My heart's broken, so we're going to go to the doctor, and we're going to get a new heart. So I followed it through. You know, we went to the doctor and everything, and the doctor was from Paris. And he looked right at me, and after 10 minutes of speaking and looking at the records that I had collected for the woman, he said, I highly suggest you enjoy today. And she did enjoy that day because that was her last day. She did pass away just a short time afterwards. But really, she had felt that her heart was this thing in her body. By fixing her mechanical being, it was going to somehow fix her energetic heart. It was going to soothe her soul and her spirit. And I think your music really does touch your soul and spirit, and that's what we're really talking about. Is it's not about, you know, hey, can I get from one side of the road to the other, you know, blah, 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 and all those other things. It's really, you've got to open up your soul and spirit, and that's really the reason we're here, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's like it says in the song, it ties my body to my soul, the breath, you know, the breath. It ties your body to your soul, and you're always near it. I mean, you can take a conscious breath. I mean, the word breath is spirit. I mean, they're the same word. So when you know, look through all the ancient texts and all the you know, the Holy Bible and all these other religious texts that says the Holy Spirit, really they're saying the holy breath. And it is the sacred, it is the most sacred thing that you can do, is to receive a breath. And what's the one thing that disappears? You lay down on the ground, you're alive, you lay down on the ground, and you're, quote, dead. What's missing? The breath.
Yeah.
And so, you know, getting people back in touch with their breath is not only critical to their health. I mean, as you said earlier, I mean, it's, you know, it gets all of the body system. I mean, when you take conscious breaths, you actually stimulate the parasympathetic nervous system. I mean, this is like physiological stuff. You're actually reducing your blood pressure, and you're lowering your heart rate. I mean, you're doing these things that are, and everyone else, you know, when you're not breathing properly, you're in a constant state of low-grade stress, which is oxidative stress is what causes almost every disease. So not only is it health-related, but it's also just, it's spiritual. I mean, if the word spirit is breath, you know, we're all spiritual beings because we're all breathing.
Yeah.
So if you, as Dr. Andrew Weil says, if you take one more conscious breath today than you did yesterday, you've made spiritual practice. So the breath is really a spiritual tool and a health tool and a stress-relieving tool, and it's a mystical teacher. I mean, it's everything. It's all of those things. And so, you know, that's really what that song is is out there to reacquaint, you know, those who need reacquainting with their breath and the sacred qualities of it.
And, you know, I've always said to people, you know, they would say, who are you? And we were having a discussion, and they're like, well, I'm me. Look at me. You know, look at me. And I says, no, not really. I said, your outward physical body is just a hanger for clothes so that society can recognize you to look familiar. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
your spirit,
mm-hmm.
your energy, and your soul. It's not about the skin and the bones and all this other stuff that you hang clothes on. It's almost like a hanger, you know. It's an outward appearance for society.
Yeah, it's true. And we have this way of creating these walls between each other. There's these veils, you know, the veil. That's what the thin little veil the whole album is about. I read this quote the other day. It said, this is part of what some of the teachings that I try to do is getting people to, like, I think it was Lord Chesterfield, he said, people don't want to be looked at. They want to be looked
yes.
into. You know,
yes.
and this other quote, it said, if you cannot see me when my physical being is not there, you have not seen me at all. You
right.
know, and so getting people to the understanding that we're just, you know, the human, you know, a person, mm-hmm. person, the word person is persona. It is a mask. It's literally a mask to what you really are. I mean, we just
mm-hmm.
it sounds like a sci-fi movie, but really, truthfully, if you've ever spent enough time in a spirituality workshop where you get
right
up to someone's face and you look deep into their eyes and you just breathe with them for maybe a minute or two, you'll see God. I mean, you'll see the divine.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see that it's not really even a person there. You're just looking directly into the eyes of the divine. So, there's ways to break down these walls, and that's what Shine is about. That other song I sent. And I think the first line is, when you let your guard down long enough, you might just like what lets itself in. And that's the idea behind it, behind that song, and behind what you just said is, you know, when we look around at people in a different, softer, kinder, sweeter, gentler way, we let our guard down,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden we start to feel this profound love and this oneness with everything.
You know, it's so funny you said
about
looking into the eyes. I was a dental hygienist for 35 years. And, you know, talk about being up close and personal. You have to look into their eyes when they're, you know, for that first at least 2 or 3 minutes to pay attention, and you're not even a foot away from their eyes, you know. And I've
mm-hmm.
seen thousands and thousands and thousands of patients, and I can tell you many, 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 many. I could go on and on and on about what I saw in those people's eyes. You know, you could see emptiness, you can see shallowness, you can see vacant, you know, just a vacant space. Sometimes
what does
you
the average person
you
do when you look in? What did the average mm-hmm. person do when you looked into their eyes? Did they engage with you, or did they mostly look away?
It varied. It depended on what they would allow themselves to be able to be open to. Sometimes when you did lock and you would be able to pay attention to that, what you would find is the other person would let their guard down too, and that would be just, you know, you give that 2 or 3 seconds, hey, you could have a whole lot of boyfriends, you know? And that was the truth. You let that guard down, and they felt that. You know, everybody
mm-hmm.
felt that.
That's funny that you said that because it's we joke and I say I love you. It doesn't mean I want to date you. You know that joke.
Right.
You know, and it's like, and whenever we do this, because we run workshops and stuff. You know, I do
mm-hmm.
it with the music and so forth. And I tell people before we do that exercise, it's like, you know, you're not looking into their eyes for a date. I mean, you're looking past them. There is nobody there.
Yep.
Just look into their eyes. And
yep.
most people are uncomfortable because they, I'm staring in their eyes. That means I want to have, you know, some kind of a relationship. But, you know, it's
right.
funny that you made that joke because that's like the,
that's exactly what they do too, though. Is they become in touch with that part of their loving self. So at that time, if they've never been in touch with that, they're like, oh, so this is what it feels like, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't
even
let themselves crack open for that half second. And, you know, if you weren't someone who was, I was not at that point, I was not a deterrent or anything. In other words, it didn't mean anything. It just meant that I was just in my process of what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But it allowed so many people to crack open. And, you know, I can say to this day, you know, I lived in New Orleans. I moved away for 20 years, came back, and I saw a guy at the grocery store. He's like, oh, my gosh, please clean my teeth again, you know. It was an experience for him, you know. He just remembered it. He just, you know, people just feel those things. And a lot of people, if you allow it, that's where you make the connections that you realize that we are all open and we're all the same. It's just all the same stuff that gets in the way. I call it the minutia of life, you know. There's so much minutia, you know. I mean, it's just all over the place, you know.
Well, I call it the veils. I mean, there's all these imaginary veils between us, and you know, and it's funny because they're all coming down, and I think a lot of them started with 9/11. I think a lot of people, you know, with the shock of some kind of event like that, some event that just brings you down to your knees, it brings people together. I mean, not that we, you know, we hope for anything to happen like that that's going to come along and bring us together, but you look at Japan when they had the tsunamis and the earthquakes and all the disasters that they had, there was people just like, you know, putting signs up on their roof, on their house, saying, we have water, we have Wi-Fi. And they were, and there was no cars driving around. People were walking around. They were just, it was like life back in the, you know, a thousand years ago,
welcome
really.
To my world. We live in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. We're in New Orleans. So we were here for Katrina and we got flooded in. So welcome to my world. We all know those experiences. And when
so you
people
felt
would
that.
Say
you
stuff,
experienced it.
Right. And people would say stuff to us like, well, go to the library and use their Wi-Fi. I'm like, dude, there's no libraries. Well, what do you mean? Go to the place and get something to drink or go to a fast food place. It's like, really? Mm-hmm. Y'all are so out of touch.
Did you experience what I was just talking about? Like people just going out of the way to be kind to one another?
Well, sometimes we did and sometimes we didn't. We were flooded in and my husband lost everything, water up to his roof of his house and all. And we couldn't get out of here then because there was no way to get out of here. And by the end of the week, you know, then they started looting and shooting in the streets and everything. We said, okay, we got to go. And then we went to Texas, and some people were nice there, but there were a lot of people that were not. They shunned away because they felt our emotions were so raw that it wasn't something that they were willing to accept at that time. But, you know, as subsequent hurricanes went on, you know, things changed. Some people were good, some weren't. But it was all based upon the media, you know, how they projected it. So
yeah,
I think that's,
well, that's
again,
a good point.
You know, what you look at. The framework
that the media puts on things. But, like, you know, the perfect example is when there's a death in the family. You know, everyone comes together. They put their stuff aside. They put their grievances aside, and they just go, okay, guys, it's time to show up. And people, just things start coming up. And, you know, I mean, it's just those are the times when people realize that darkness and heavy stuff actually brings us together, and that maybe it comes along for, you know, in cycles for a reason to soften us a little, so that we will drop the veils and the minutiae, as you call it, between each other, and just be real and be one, be unified.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's listen to your song Periphery.
Well, we should probably play Shine if you have it.
You
want to
play Shine? Sure, we'll do Shine. Perfect.
Yeah, that fits what we just said.
Perfect.
If you let your guard down long enough, you might just like what lets itself on. If you open the door just a crack or two, you get a flash of what you've been missing. These days and days that you've turned. These walls, that little old crack that's in a sea of light, and then there's colors. Oh, well, let it shine.
You know, Bob, that's a great song that you can play at any event or anything you have going on, because you can just put it on a loop and everybody will actually just pick up the words in a minute. And if you don't feel something when you're listening to your music, I think that's something to really pay attention to, because what are you not feeling? And maybe just keep looping it until you do. And eventually people will start to open up, don't you think?
Yeah, it's everyone sings on that song. I mean, Shine, who can't sing one word right? And
right.
A lot of times we'll get it going so loud that I'll just stop. I'll just stop playing and singing, and it's just the crowd will just carry it, and they'll just keep singing it. They're looking around at each other, and that's what I love about doing this is the music takes over, and actually the audience takes over. They want to shine. They want to sing. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what happens with that song.
And it's really important to be able to have some sort of something in your body to feel uplifting. I mean, I think when music does that, because it's so familiar to us, it doesn't matter. I mean, how many, you somehow can connect to the words and to the music and just actually just start moving with it. And that really does in tune try to line up yourself, you know, to be able to pay attention and say, it's okay, you know, all of that other stuff, it can float away at that time.
Yeah, you can get lost in it in a good way.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, I told you we would just fly through this time, right?
We did. What time? Oh, my goodness, we did. You said it was just exactly as you said.
Absolutely.
Good conversation.
Well, absolutely. Well, I'm going to play Periphery as our outgoing music, so I'll leave a few minutes for that. But I'd like you to share some information, more information about yourself. You know, talk a little bit about each album that are your favorites and how people can find out more about you. That would be wonderful.
Oh, sure. Well, everything is located online. It's bobsima.com, BOBSIMA.com. And, I mean, it's just everything you ever wanted to know about where I'm going to be traveling to and playing, what I offer. So if you wanted to bring me to your location or wherever you are, we play all over the U.S. We go out of the country as well. But, you know, I do concerts. I do concerts tied with meditations. I do concerts, meditations, and breath work all wrapped in one. I do workshops around breath work and around creativity. I have a workshop called Then Sings My Soul. But, again, this is all available online. All the albums are online. You can get everything on iTunes if you're an iTunes customer, but you can also download everything right from my website or order physical CDs. You can see what else. I mean, there's four albums listed. They're all my favorite, so it's hard to pick. They're all. You can listen to clips of every song on my website. There's every lyric is on the website. It's a newer website. We haven't finished putting up the video yet, but you could, you know, Google me for that. But the other thing I wanted to mention is that what was I going to mention? Oh, the latest CD is Put a Little More Love in the World, which is we played a few songs from that. You're about to play Periphery, which is the title track to Periphery. Shine, which you just heard, is on Thin Little Veil, and that was released 2 years ago. So I just, you know, I'm on Facebook, Bob Sima. You can find me as a personal page. I most likely accept your friend request. And then I have a page you can like, my music page, which I probably spend more time on my personal page. So, you know, take that whichever way you'd like. But it's just such a joy to be with you, and I feel like we're like old buddies, and we just know each other from some other time.
You know, and I had said, you know, it just flows. You just don't know where it comes from. It just does. It just shows up, right?
Yeah. Well, that's funny. That's what Periphery is. It's just about being present, being in the moment, and not trying to plan everything because, you know,
absolutely.
You don't have control.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure, and we'll be sharing your music. It'll generally sometimes, if we play it before a show or whatever, we always reference you, so definitely people will be able to find out more about your work.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be with you, and thanks to everybody for listening. And
thank you
namaste.
So much. Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Bob Sima, his website is on the bottom of today's show page. You'll be able to click there and go directly to his site. The CDs that we're referencing today are Put a Little More Love in the World, Periphery, Thin Little Veil, and the other is Pour It On. Please do check it out. The songs we were talking about today are Breathe, I Am Here, Periphery, and Shine. And those are on these CDs. And please do check out his music because it is very much something that is it's really timely right now because, like we Bob and I have said, you know, it's not about swamping around and all the, you know, the sadness and the horror and all these other words that you can't even understand or something that's really not uplifting. This music is uplifting, and you can't help but feel better from it. Put it on in the background. Put it on your computer, you know, when you're doing work or something like that. It's not something that you have to hear every single word to be able to get the energy from the music. The energy from the music will come through. You'll pick up one or two words, and you'll just feel better. And isn't that great to have something passive like that? So thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher for Sedona Talk Radio and Blog Talk Radio. I'm now going to play Bob's other song that we didn't have a chance to play. It's called Periphery, and this will play us out. So please do check out our other shows, post some comments. Please share the links. All of our songs and all of our shows will be on Archives, iTunes, for at least a year. So please do check us out, and thank you for joining us.
The best days are not planned, spontaneous, hand in hand, and the human touch felt and seen surely beats TV screen. Real smiles, they sneak up. The cheeks move to the sensing of my words and the tiny little miracles are captured in the lines on her face. And you can build your life on what tomorrow brings. And you complicate the simplest things, and you can hold your eyes fixed on the prize. You never see what's in the periphery. Hand me down and roll your own yard sales at the older homes. We got a table for a quarter and had ourselves $1 million night. They say that true love will never break your heart. It's fully invested right from the start and never shies away. Tomorrow brings, and you complicate the simplest things, and you can hold your eyes fixed on the prize, and you never see what's in the periphery. Beautiful sunset ever seen. things, and you can hold your eyes fixed on.